Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Yo. I'm Kimberly Petra, Online Center, and tonight's show is going to be very special. It's going to be all about your personal experiences. Many of us have personal experiences that define mainstream thinking. So tonight we're going to explore the types of experiences that people have, what they mean, and how we can integrate them into our daily lives. And although mediums provide a valuable connection to the deceased, this show centers around your direct experiences, which do not involve a medium. So, before introducing my co-hosts tonight, would like to leave us with a thought, or introduce us with a thought here. The willingness to show up changes us. It makes us a little braver each time. So, in case you don't realize how important sharing your own story is, maybe you can step out of your comfort zone and do it for the people who need to hear it. Tonight, we have Dr. Betty J. Kovach, author of The Miracle of Death, There is Nothing But Life, and Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That is Changing the World, as well as Janet Mayer, a Forever Family Foundation certified medium and author of Spirits, They Are Present. And we will begin with Janet sharing one of her personal stories with you.
Wonderful. Hi, everyone. I just wanted to basically begin by telling you a story that, you know, we all have so many stories that happen to us daily, and this was one of those stories that it kind of hit me in a really unusual way, and it happened when I was living in, we had a two-story, we had a condo, and I happened to be upstairs one day, and you know, like anybody, you just kind of go on with life, you're running around here and there, going up and down. And it was really interesting because as I was running down the hall one day and kind of turning the corner to run down the steps really quick, I tripped at the top of the steps. And when I tripped, I kind of went airborne, and I started, you know, it's almost like your mind goes into slow motion. And as you're watching yourself fall, you're just like, oh, my gosh, no. And with that, somebody from behind grabbed me. And the next thing I know, I was sitting on the top step. Now, you know, how that could happen, I don't know. I had literally been going past the third step, and all of a sudden I ended up on the top step, and there was nobody in the house but me. I ended up on the top step, and I just was so shook up that, you know, I just sat there for like 10 minutes, and then I started crying because I couldn't believe I didn't fall and get hurt. But there was somebody that caught me, and it really, really made me think that, you know, when something like that happens, there's people around us all the time. And yes, sometimes we get caught, sometimes we don't. You know, whatever the reason was, there was somebody in that moment that actually kind of saved me from taking a tumble down the steps. And wow. It just kind of, at that moment, it really taught me again that we have, you know, loved ones around us. You know, I always think of Mr. Rogers. They said, look for the helpers. We have spirit helpers too. You know, we have spirit helpers. And they're there too, and they're there to help us. Now, you know, they might not always be there when we think we should have that help. I understand that. But, you know, part of it is we still have to live. We have to, you know, make our own choices. But there are times when we kind of are saved. And that was, you know, one of them. And it was, you know, pretty amazing.
That is amazing. And, you know, that reminds me of a story that a friend of mine told me. I haven't thought of it in years, really. She and her son were in the car. And to the left was a street, but it had a stop sign. And as they were going straight forward, she looked over, and her son looked over too, and they saw a huge truck that was going right through the stop sign and was coming right at them. It would have hit right on the side where her son was sitting. And, of course, a truck, it probably would have killed both of them. And she said within seconds, they were looking to the left, and the truck was on the other side of them. It's like it had to have gone through that stop sign, hit them, and gone on. But it was on the other side without touching down. Isn't that, that's an amazing story, I think. Are you there, Janet?
Okay.
We must have lost Janet.
She'll probably give a call right back. I wanted to give the call-in number for those of you who would like to share your story. It is 1-888-627-6008. So please give us a call and let us know what kind of magical, mystical, mysterious things you would like to share with some of our listeners.
Yes, I think it's very important that when we have had these experiences, that we realize how important they are. I taught in a college, and I met very few faculty who had had these kinds of experiences. And they thought, well, if you have them, you're just an exceptional person. But actually, I think it isn't that. I think we have to be open to them. And perhaps there are other reasons, but I think it's just so important to know that we all have what it takes to experience other dimensions of reality, and we just have to be open to them. I'm sorry that Janet, we've lost Janet, but while we're waiting for her to come back, I'll tell you a particular... Oh, we have Janet.
That's great.
Janet, are you there? We can't. No.
Okay, thank you, Don.
Okay, so in the meantime... Oh, good. Okay.
Hi, and welcome to Signs of Life.
Hi.
Oh, hi, thank you for calling. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Great. What would you like to share with our listeners tonight?
It's a story about a very young child's reaction to to her grandfather's death. So...
Would you be able to speak a little bit louder, please?
Did you want me to continue?
Now tell us your story, and let's hope we won't lose you.
Yes, let's hope not. So when my husband died, his grandchild was 1 year old, and he had only seen her a few times before he died because we didn't live in the same town. And her father... was a musician, and I don't know if, anyway, somehow she knew that her grandfather liked country music. So when country music came on the radio, the little girl would just stop everything that she was doing and just start interacting with her granddad. And she would be laughing, and as I said, she was only 1 year old, so... You know, she called him Pop, but she couldn't talk much, but she was very clearly engaged in interacting with him. And then when she was 2 years old, on the anniversary of his death, we had he was a poet, among other things, and we had a celebration of his life by producing a book of poems that he had written, since his last book had been published, and also his son, the musician, played the same song that he had played in the funeral, and it was in a church hall with a really high ceiling and a great huge stained glass window, and the little girl, Anna was her name, was 2 years old, and when her father played that song, she shouted in a loud voice, "Look! He's flying."
We didn't understand. He's what?
He's flying.
Flying?
Flying in
flying?
The rafters. She was looking up at the rafters of the church, and she saw him flying.
Oh, she saw his spirit image?
Yes, I guess so.
Oh, my gosh.
I was very jealous of her.
Wow. And she was just, how old was she at that time?
Two years old.
Two. Oh,
wow.
That was pretty good.
Oh, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Oh. What did everyone make of that? Was that story shared with people in attendance?
No, not very many people knew about it, except, you know, the family that was around her.
Oh, wow.
Like other people were paying attention to the music. stuff. But, yeah, I just thought, I was very jealous of her, you know. I never had those.
From the mouth of babes. Well,
yeah,
that's a beautiful
exactly.
family story that we're probably told many times within the family.
Yes, yes, it is indeed. Actually, when he was dying was also an interesting story. He had had a twin brother who died at birth, and his father had also died already, and his mother was quite elderly. And the night before my husband died, she dreamed that she saw her husband holding a baby who was apparently the baby that had died, and Bill was walking toward them in the light. And so when he was on his last breath, we were, the three children and I were at the four corners of the bed, and the hospice nurse said that we must move him and that he might die when we moved him. So we all said, no, we're not going to move him. She said, yes, you must do it. And so we decided to make it into a ritual. So we, each of us said something to him, and then, well, we gave him some morphine, but we each said something to him, and then the next one, all around the four corners of the bed, and then we together moved him, and he died when we moved him. So
wow. The
last person, I guess I was the third person, I told him about his mother's dream the night before, as a way of saying it's okay, you know, to go and join them. And then his eldest son read his father the poem that his father had written about his twin brother who died at birth and how he had gone to, that he had gone ahead of him. And then he died. So that was kind of a wonderful.
Well, thank you, Jean, for sharing both of those gems with us and our listeners. We really appreciate you calling in.
Thank you so much.
Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you. If anyone else would like to call in, the number is 1-888-627-6008.
I'm having trouble hearing, and I don't know whether our listeners are having trouble hearing as well. So
the connection wasn't that great with
perhaps it was just Jean's connection. So, Janet, did you have another story you would like to tell us?
Sure. I'd be happy to tell you another story. this stems kind of around the Science of Life radio show years ago when they started the mediums and messages with Doreen Malloy being the host. And, you know, the different mediums every month, there'd be a new medium that would, you know, beyond, and they would do the mini readings and that. And, you know, the first time I sat down to do that, I was kind of like, it was a little nerve-wracking because, you know, when people call in, you know, you have no clue who they are. You don't know who anybody is, and you don't know anything about, you know, any of their life because you don't even know who the next caller is going to be. So, you know, it kind of went through the whole hour. I did my thing, and when it was over, you know, I still had, like, all this energy building up because I just felt like all these people were coming at me, and I thought, you know, I just need to calm down. And so, you know, I kind of did a meditation, and then I did, you know, a little, like, to kind of shut it down and be calm, and I went into the other room. And, you know, I have a habit a lot of times that, you know, afterwards I always like to have something to eat because it kind of grounds me. I don't know if sometimes people feel that way after they meditate, and I just did that, and I was sitting down, and I thought, okay, now I'm kind of getting a little tired. I think it's time for bed. And I went in and I went to bed, and I'm laying there. And as I'm laying there, you know, my whole body kind of starts like vibrating. And I'm thinking, okay, this is really weird. I guess I'm not as calm as I thought I was. And suddenly I felt these hands like grab the end of my leg right at the top of my foot. And, you know, what's your first thought? What do you do when somebody grabs you? You look at them, right? And so that's what I did. I kind of like jumped up and looked, and I'm like, there's nobody there at the end of the bed. But there were hands like on my feet or at the top of my leg there.
And I just kind of, you know, of course, then I was wired again because I'm like, oh, my God, I just felt something. And I'm one of these people that I kind of always say, you know, I'm kind of a chicken medium because I still jump when something like that happens. But at the same time, it was really kind of cool. And, you know, it disappeared. And I thought, okay, maybe they were trying to calm me down, you know, and I kind of lay back in bed and, you know, I'm on my back and I'm just like, I think that's what they were there for. And I thought, but it didn't really calm me down. And with that, it happened again. And I felt somebody grab me. And I just felt this wave kind of come over me that was kind of calming. And I was, you know, and I thought, I know that there's someone with me there, just like everyone. Everybody has someone with them. And I just felt like it was a loved one coming in to say, you need to calm down. You need to relax. And it actually happened like a third time. And by the third time, I kind of felt really sleepy, and that was it. It was just like, then I was out. Then I fell asleep. But it was really, really cool because I think it really, you know, this is a great, you know, the show is great because it reminds people that somebody can come through. You can have something happen in so many different ways. It doesn't have to be one specific thing. And also, you know, it's a personal experience. And I kind of look at it like everybody who's having an experience, it's very sacred to them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And so I just felt like, you know, that was really important that, you know, when you're, you know, sharing stories like this and there's loved ones that come through, like after someone passes and it to me, it feels like that it could be them, but it could also be someone else. And we don't always know, you know, sometimes you do know, it's like, I know my mom came through. It's like, I know that. But then there's other times where I'm like, you know, maybe there's just someone out there that's kind of trying to help me. And I always think about that with everybody else. I'm like, if we recognize that and we kind of open ourselves up to that experience, you know, it can kind of intensify your whole life. It can kind of make your life open up even bigger because you're acknowledging them coming through and you're acknowledging them wanting to come through and they want to give us something. You know, like people are like, oh, well, you know, my loved one just passed and, you know, I hate to ask them to give me, you know, a sign or to let me know they're okay. And I'm like, no, they don't want to. They're trying to give you something. If we, you know, listen, all we do is pay attention, open up, let them come through in a dream, let them come through, you know, in some way that we're doing in daily life. And I think that's really important too.
Yes, I think it's very important that we investigate and explore different ways of being in touch with the spirit dimension, because I think it's absolutely our heritage to work with the unseen world as much as we work with the seen world, the visible and the invisible. And if we take that as very natural, but that we've blocked the ways of communication simply by belief systems or stories that have made us reluctant to believe that there is anything but this world. But I think that is when we start opening up and exploring different ways of communication, that then we will be more in touch with that world. And it's so comforting. I found that when my husband died, and I had many visions during that time, but I also realized that I was now required to be more creative and to find ways of understanding how we could communicate in a different way from the ways we communicated in matter. So I really had to try to be creative. I think I haven't been creative enough, but I did work on it.
I think you're very creative.
Well, thank you. But, you know, I was thinking of an experience that I had that sort of was part expressed itself in the physical world. So often I have visions and it's not that. But this was my husband's vision. After our son died, I think it was maybe a few months, and we would meditate regularly together. And he was sitting on the couch. I was lying on the bed. And we had music on and I was meditating. And in the vision that I had, I was in a pyramid with the Egyptian god Anubis. And I had other visions of this particular image, and so I had actually purchased a necklace that had Anubis on it, and I had put it on upside down for some reason. I didn't know I had done that, but at any rate, when I was having the vision of being with him, and it was like an initiation in the pyramid, and then someone with just a finger touched the image that I had on the necklace into my heart, it was just, the finger just touched it and pushed it into my heart. And I thought, what's Pista doing? My husband, I thought, what is he doing? And I opened my eyes quickly, but he was still on the couch meditating. So it was definitely an energy from the other world that while I was experiencing an initiation with Anubis in the pyramid, actually that energy then was present in the room and pushed his image into my heart.
Wow. Wow. That's, and see, and you know that personal experience, and it I'm sure resonates with many people out there that are having experiences too, that it's kind of like, I know I was touched, or I know, you know, somebody mm-hmm. touched my nose, or they touched my shoulder, or they did something. And then they second guess it, or they're like, no, that couldn't have been. And then they walk away. And it's kind of like, this is really important for people to remember and to understand that you really probably did feel that. You really had that experience. And nobody else can say you didn't have that experience, and you know you
did.
You know?
It was one of the things I didn't doubt. It was so clear and so profound. And I thought it was a funny thing, too, that I realized when I took off the necklace that his image had been facing my heart. It hadn't been put on correctly. And that was kind of funny, too. But
wow.
So, yes. So much of my life, I didn't experience much. So when I did start having the experiences, of course, I would kind of doubt. But then there were things that I simply could not doubt. They were so so clear and so profound, at least for me. And I think that that's all that counts, really, is that you know it happened and you know the meaning of it sometimes.
Oh, but, exactly. And that's just it. I mean, and you know, and the thing is I always say, too, that, you know, I'm from the show-me state. I'm from Missouri. So I'm always, like, telling spirit, show me. You got to show me. I want to see this, or I want to feel it, or I want to understand it. And it never fails. I have stuff happen all the time. And sometimes, you know, and I hate to say it this way, it's not that I get used to it, but it's that when it happens, I just stop. You know, and I have to stop, and I'm just like, thank you. And I always think, I wish everybody would do that. I wish everybody out there would, you know, when something happens, you know, acknowledge it, because then the other side knows that, and then they give you more. You know, they let you, you know, they'll show you more, because what that's doing is opening you up for even more. And I think that is what's really cool, too.
That's really true. I think that, and it helps us to know and to be more certain of what we have experienced. I mean, it's that connection of thanking them is helping us to say to ourselves, yes, this did happen.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Janet? I was just saying, I agree. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I had one other experience that with Istvan, my husband. This was after our son had died, and maybe a year afterwards. And he woke up hearing, or at least he was in a vision when he woke up into the vision, and he felt surrounded by people, and he heard heart attack, heart attack, heart attack. And then Pishti was present as a doctor, and he said, Dad, you're having a heart attack. We're going to have to operate. And so he said, then Pishti, our son, Pishti, then went up under his right rib cage to the heart. And then the next scene, Istvan, my husband, and Pishti were walking on the beach at the ocean. And it was a beautiful day, and it was absolutely beautiful. And he said, well, the operation was a success. The patient lived. And so he told me that when he got up, and we were just kind of, you know, in awe with that. And he said, I wonder if something was going to happen to my heart, and he saved my life. Well, anyway, the next day or two, I don't remember, he went outside and was swimming, and then he lay down on the chaise lounge, and he was sunning, and then suddenly he looked down, and he saw right under the right rib cage was scar tissue, and it was in the form of a pyramid. He never had that, of course, on his body before. So, I mean, that was kind of a...
We have Haiti on line four. Haiti.
Yeah, that is amazing.
Yeah, it was just nice that and think. Now, there was an actual physical expression of what had happened. So he said, well, I guess I did have a heart operation. Let's see, do we have someone? Was that Donna, you answering a call for us?
Yes, we have Haiti on line five.
Tracy? Hi, thanks for calling.
Haiti, speak up.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that you were asking for me. Yeah, hi there.
Okay. We're all having trouble hearing today, it seems. Anyway, welcome.
Can you hear
what
me
did
okay?
You have to tell us?
Yes, we can hear you. Go on. Okay, perfectly. So I lost my dad, unfortunately, about a month and a half ago. And I always believed, you know, in afterlife and whatnot. But, you know, when something like that happens, it shakes you and you hope that it is real. So two things happened for me. One's much shorter, one a little bit longer story. But one is when we came back from the funeral, on my brother's doorstep outside his door was a broken egg, like a bird had hatched. And it was very random that there'd be an egg just sitting there. Move forward, we were allowed to go visit the cemetery 30 days later. And that was actually on Father's Day, so recently. And when I got home from the funeral, on my doorstep was a newly hatched little bird. No shell, no nothing. And so we were like, you know what, with the egg, we didn't think too much about it. But when this happened, my brother and I were like, oh, my gosh. Where did this come from? Of course, I sat there for about 20 minutes waiting, making sure the bird's mom would come and get it, which is also a nice distraction for me from, you know, the pain and whatnot. But I know that had to be a sign. It was crazy.
Oh, I would say definitely it was a sign.
Right? And I've never had that ever, like even near my house. The other thing that happened for me, so my dad, he died from lung cancer, and in the, you know, from the chemo, he was in and out of hospital, and of course, he hated hospital. And, you know, he just said he never wanted to go. And because of COVID, we were trying so hard to keep him out of there. And in the last week of his life, you know, he started getting really shortness of breath and whatnot. And the doctor told us that he thinks it's just pneumonia, send him to hospital and he'll get better. And long story short, we sent him in, and, you know, he died a few days later. But I felt so guilty that I had sent him to hospital and we couldn't be with him because they wouldn't let us in. Eventually, they let us in and they had told us that they had asked us if they could do a procedure to remove fluid from his lungs. And we figured, well, it's the last thing we're going to try, let's do it. But when I finally was able to get into the hospital, and we saw the state that he was in, we realized there's no way we're allowing him to do this procedure. You know, it's just not going to happen. And we knew he was going to pass, and the next day we moved into hospice and he passed. But a few weeks later, I had been feeling so guilty. I'd been talking to him and saying, please, I'm so sorry I sent you to hospital on your own. I'm so sorry that, you know, it came to a day I was devastated and I just felt so guilty. I hope I did the right thing. I would have wanted to be with you and all the rest of that. That day I was driving. I went back into my office just to, you know, get some things. I hadn't been in a while and I had to go pick up some skin, like moisturizers and whatnot. And I went by to pick it up from this lady I get it from. And when I was there, she asked me how I'm doing. And I told her that, you know, I had lost, she asked me about my dad. I said, oh, I've lost him and whatnot. And then she happened to tell me that she lost both her parents to lung cancer and they were diagnosed at the same time. And her dad died during a procedure where they removed fluid from his lungs. And I was like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? That's the procedure they wanted to do for my dad. I'm so glad I didn't do it. At that moment, I received a text from a friend that I got, you know, when I was done with the appointment. And she told me that she was at the vet with her cat, and they think that the cat has lung cancer, and they just did a procedure for the cat's lungs to remove fluid. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, how could this be? We're talking about with this lady. How could and I said to my friend, like, I didn't even know cats could get lung cancer. How is that possible? And she said, you know, she knows she doesn't get it either, but in the meantime, they think the cat will be okay. The vet told her, go home. You know, let the cat be in the comfort of your home and it will be okay. Later on that night, around 10 o'clock, I got a text from her saying that her cat had passed. It was the most horrific sight. The cat suffered so much at home, was gasping for breath. And, oh my gosh, it was just horrible. And I just knew that it was my dad sending me a message that I did the right thing by having him in the hospital, by letting him die with, you know, morphine and be comfortable. He never stuff that he passed peacefully. It was all too coincidental, and I just knew. It was as clear as day. So, you know, that's, it was just gave me so much comfort. I never questioned again that I did the right thing or not. I knew I had done the right thing for him. So at least
that's a beautiful story, because you would have suffered a long time with that, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And how synchronistic it should happen then. So
and multiple times.
Yeah, multiple.
Right.
Multiple.
Right.
Not extending life, let alone quality.
Yeah,
just really getting the message through to you.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Sometimes you think you're making this up, right? But I have the text messages from my friend.
Oh, that's good.
I'm like,
oh, yeah. That's very good. That's very good. Thank you so much.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And an amazing story, you know, I mean, to show you that he made sure she got the sign that they did the right, that she did the right thing.
The communication came through. That's an incredible way that it came through.
Right. And your family can have some peace with the choice that you did make.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so obviously so.
Very nice.
Wow.
Very nice. Thank you for calling in.
Of course. Thank you for everything you guys do.
Thank you. And if any of our other listeners would like to call in and share a story that someone else might need to hear, might give them some reassurance that there is life beyond the physical world, and perhaps that it is possible to communicate and receive signs from those we love who have passed. The call-in number is 888-627-6008.
Right.
Okay. Janet, you have another story, I think.
Well, I do, but, you know, I wanted to talk about this story, too, that our caller just called in, because that was a perfect sign that, you know, her father was coming through, and he came through in multiple ways to make sure she knew that she did the right thing, you know? And to me, that was just amazing that, you know, I felt like that would give her, you know, the comfort that she needed to know that she made the right choice. And I just felt like when I was listening to that, it was just, you know, very heartwarming to hear that he was coming through in that way, and he made sure over and over that he was going to put her in contact.
That's what's amazing about it, because you know we're not prone to be believers. You know, we have to have evidence and check and so on. But he was going to be sure she got that message.
That's right.
And
I mean, what are the odds that she'd get those specific messages from different instances in her own life on different methods?
I know.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Right.
Well,
you know,
how
about that?
Like
two. Yeah.
Very true. Wow. Well, I mean, if you want, I can go ahead and share another story, or we can, you know, if we have a caller, either way.
Well, of course, I guess we'll know if we have a caller soon, but in the meantime.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. And this was kind of interesting. I have all kinds I could just tell you.
We have Lee from Florida, line one.
There was one that really stood out
good.
To me.
Oh, Janet, you want to hold that thought for a moment?
Sure. I'll hold on.
Okay, thank you. Hi, Lee. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, very well. Thank you.
Okay. I can't hear you that well. My husband and I lost our 25-year-old daughter. In December 2018, she was actually on the operating table receiving a multiple organ transplant, and her heart failed. And when she passed, I yelled and begged her to please send me signs and that she was okay. And she has done a very, very good job at that. She has, I used to always call her when she was a little girl, I called her my little chickadee. And she has come to me multiple times in a little bird, in a little chickadee bird, has landed on a chair sitting outside in a restaurant on the back of my right shoulder, come onto a balcony of the apartment we were staying in, looked in the apartment window. The bird looked into the window looking at her room that she was supposed to have after her transplant. Mm. She met me in a bird on the curb at an airport. It was the only bird around, and it came to me.
Wow.
I came home after we had to live in an apartment where her transplant was being done in Miami, and we came home to our home in the West Palm Beach area a few months later. And when we got to the door, there were two doves sitting above our front door waiting for us.
Mm.
And I could go on and on. She was very involved in music, and I could be driving in the car, and there will be songs that come on that she always made everyone playlists on CDs when she was younger, and she would make a music playlist for your birthday or different things that were happening in your life. But I would be drive in the car, and it was like she would send one song after the other to me I knew she was sending to me. I went out one. We had to take a trip to northern Florida one day, and it was still dark out. We left at 5 in the morning, and I walked out into the driveway, and I had a very clear vision that, three of very important people in our life passed away within the 6 months prior to her passing. And I had a very strong vision that each of them were waiting in a line for her, and she went and was accepted with them.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful.
Comforting to know that. That really makes the world.
And that's only some things. I could go on and on. My daughter has been wonderful in so many ways, reaching out to me, to my husband, to my daughter who lives in Idaho. She's reached out to us in many, many ways. So
that is fortunate. And that you noticed, you're open to it. You're not dismissive of anything. You're just really receptive. That makes it easier for her. And I think too, don't you, Lee, that if we didn't have those kinds of experiences after the death of a child, it would be so difficult to go on living.
Yes.
And yet you had those, and you had them repeatedly. I know people who've had no sign, no connection, and their heart's broken. They can't really
A lot of people that I've spoken to, they're always looking for things like a butterfly or, you know, a certain thing to come to them, and it could be anything. I mean, her name comes to me all the time, no matter what I'm doing. There's always someone with her name that pops up. And, I've gotten emails that, you know, one day I was wondering, she used to go to get her nails done with me, and what nail color should we get, Mom? You know, we'd pick out colors together. And one day after she passed, I hadn't had my nails done in a long time because I didn't want to go without her, but I said, I should probably get my nails done, and I opened an email, and the email said that it was all about the latest colors in nail polish, and the very first color that popped up was her name, the name of the color.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's wonderful.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So those are some of my things, and I hope that helps somebody by me telling, you know, I hope that they can have some experiences like that.
Absolutely. And I think the more we hear that other people do, it helps to open us, because I'm sure that the loved ones of all of us want to get through to us. And I don't know why it doesn't come through to some, and it does to others, but
it's possible, and it can happen at any time. So, yes, your story is so helpful. I mean, it was just every time you turned around almost. That was wonderful.
Yes, we have had quite a bit. we've had even more, and I could go on all night. So
I'm glad you could. I mean, those are great gifts, great gifts.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you very much.
I mean, and thank you. Thank you for sharing.
And you know, my husband and I enjoy listening to your channel. So thank you for doing
great.
What you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Great. Have a good night.
You too.
So Janet, do you want to go ahead and pick up where you left off?
Sure, I can do that.
Go for it. Are you there?
Okay, yes, I am. Sorry. We're having some phone issues tonight. I don't know what's going on, but
I was trying to say, too. The gremlins.
Yeah.
The gremlins are with us, too.
Yeah. I thought it was really beautiful, too, that she was sharing all her stories, because it does let everyone know, you know, that one thing that I thought was really important, what she said, too, is to, you know, be open to any of those signs. Be open to any sign. Instead of looking for something, just be open to what will come to you. You know, that in itself is
absolutely
beautiful.
Absolutely agree. Absolutely. How it can happen. Openness. There's a tendency in so many of us to think, oh, that's not really connected, or that doesn't, you know, have any, oh, that just happened that way. But it didn't, and she had plenty of evidence that it was a communication.
And it continues.
Sometimes people have a specific thing that they want, and they don't think they're getting a sign because they haven't gotten the one they've requested.
That's a good point, yeah.
It just is, I think, a lot easier on them if we're just open to what messages come to us.
Yeah, that's a good point, Kim. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think I have a great example of something that happened in it was during a reading, but I didn't plan it that way, but I was it was during a reading, and my client said that, you know, she gave me the okay. I wouldn't normally ever speak of something about a client unless I had their, you know, consent. And it was during a reading when I was sitting there and I heard the doorbell ring, and there was no one at the door. I didn't see anyone walk up. There was nobody there. There was nobody that left. And my client said, I heard that. And she made a comment. She said, I looked at the time and it was the exact time that her loved one came to her almost every day and rang her doorbell.
Oh my. Oh, wow.
I mean, that's pretty, to me, that was, you know, I mean, I literally She's like, I heard your doorbell. And she said, I looked at the time and I said to her, I go, I'm really sorry. I said, you know, I'm in my office, that, you know, there's nobody there. I can see out the window. There's nothing going on. And she's like, no, that's my loved one. And, you know, she went on to explain, and it was really a blessing to me that she stopped by. You know, and I felt like that was kind of like, you know, letting us know that sometimes you get a message from someone else, and, you know, you should take that message and not just be like, oh, well, I didn't get it. You know, I didn't get the message. You know, I wish I had it. Instead, stop, you know, stop and say, you know, thank you. Let them explain the message and go on, you know, and it, you know, it comes in all different ways. It can come from someone else. It can come, you know, you're not the only one that just receives a message from a loved one. Sometimes someone else can share it with you, and it can be, you know, just as clear and, you know, bring blessings to you in that way as well.
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. Well, there's one story I'll tell about Kim, since she's sitting here. and it's not a message from the other side as much as something that was a degree of physicality. Kim and I had gone to New York to visit a friend, and we were sharing the guest room, and we had twin beds. And so we were talking. We'd been in New York that evening, and Kim had just finished a treatment for breast cancer and had started on a particular medicine. I don't know if that had anything to do with this, but we said, okay, good night. And then suddenly there was a wind or a very strong energy that came clearly from Kim and crossed over my bed and stopped at the window. And I yelled out, what are you doing? And then I was looking at the window, though, and an image, it was a person, an image, was standing there, and she turned around and looked at me, and from the breast up, there was like a white gauze or binding that was being loosened, and it was flying up, but it was so powerful. I knew that it was Kim's subtle body. I don't know what happened that made that body jump out of her body, but it has a degree, certainly, of physicality. But that was really the first real time that I had experienced something with such powerful energy. It just, it was some powerful energy. I don't know what it was disturbed or what, but I felt maybe that the unbinding of the gauze from the breast might be symbolic that she was healing, you know. I kind of looked at it that way. I think sometimes we don't know things, so I can't say that I know every reason and why it happened or what happened, except I know what I saw, and it was definitely an energy in that room that came from her, sort of flew past my bed and stopped at the window to look out, and when I yelled at Kim, the image then looked back at me in kind of a startled way. So I think, you know, sometimes we just have to live with experiences, not really understanding them fully, but just knowing that something extraordinary happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember you had said at the time, too, that when you said, what are you doing, that I said, nothing, but I was asleep. I was just responding, nothing, and that you said, you could tell by the look on my face that I was in physical distress.
Yeah,
and
nothing, something just happened. Yeah, so it's, you know, we can't always explain them, but we know that something unusual happened, and I value it so much. I don't understand it completely, but I know for sure that subtle bodies exist, and they have tremendous energy.
Right. Oh, I totally agree with you. And I think, and I love that you said, too, that we don't always understand it. I mean, there are many times that I don't understand something I receive, but, you know, I always say thank you, and then I just kind of either allow it to happen or be thankful for it and move on or whatever it may be, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But, yeah.
Well, let me say, that thing about gratitude is just like it only multiplies your experiences in life if you're grateful for so many little things, whether it's walking down the street, being free of pain, or having a good night's sleep after having had nausea all day long, or receiving some message that hits your heart and gives you the courage to take another step.
Right.
Now when people are distressed with our present situation, not really knowing what we're going to be going through in the future, but just gratitude that right now, you know, we're okay and the weather's beautiful and, you know, that we have so much. If we don't have some things, we have so much.
Mm-hmm.
And to be, the gratitude is so much better than focusing on what we don't have or what we can't do. You know, I think Kim's right. The very experience of gratitude is healing on so many levels.
Oh, it is.
Oh, exactly.
We have about 3 minutes left of tonight's show, and so I'm going to give the call-in number one more time in case another listener would like to call, 888-627-6008. Again, we have about 3 minutes left before Janet will leave us with some parting words.
Yes, I will do that.
That's good. We don't.
Mm-hmm. Are we ending this now? Or I thought we had a couple minutes.
We have 3 minutes left. Do you have another story for us?
Oh, wonderful. Well, I could share something that just recently happened. That I have a good friend here near where I live, and she's been sick. And, you know, she had went to Italy, and she loves Italy. She's Italian, and she just, we always kid about it, that she, you know, loves Italy. And one night I went to sleep this past week, and I had this dream, and I dreamt that I was in Italy, which I have never been to Italy. But I dreamt I was there, and I was in a little store. And when I came out, I looked at the storefront name, and I was like, oh, I need to tell my girlfriend about that name, because I think I wonder if she's been there. And so I said, oh, I have to take pictures. So all during this dream, I was saying I had to do this, right? And I turned around and I looked at the word, and I suddenly woke up out of my dream. And when I woke up out of my dream, I remembered the name on the storefront. And I thought, I wonder what that means. And so I looked up that name,
And it was actually an Italian name that meant courage. And what she's going through, right now, she needed some courage. And so I had to text her right away that morning and let her know. And I said, hey, I had a dream for you last night. Didn't plan it. It just happened. And this is what happened when I dreamt. And it took me here. And I let her know. And, I mean, she just was like, thank you. I needed that, you know. And it was really kind of a cool thing because it was very spontaneous. I was just thinking about her. And, you know, here I dreamt for her. And what happened came out with a word that I didn't know. I don't speak Italian. And here it meant courage. So it was pretty cool.
That's so interesting because that's what we need right now, all of us around the world, is courage to face whatever comes to us. And I think that that gives us so much strength. And knowing that we are connected to the invisible world, that there's that we really live in an enchanted world if we could open to it, I think that that's what gives me courage, you know, that connection,
I think so.
That reality.
Yeah. I think so. I think so. So it was just...
It's life, yes. So are we ready for the... Janet, would you like to share the parting words for tonight?
Sure. Sure. I'll go ahead. May all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe. And may we all together complete the spiritual journey. That's it.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, thank you, everyone, and we hope to see you next. No, what date? It's the last Thursday of the month.
Right. So we'll be back for the
Thursday of the month.
Personal Stories episode, The Signs of Life. Mm-hmm. Thank you again, and thanks especially to Jean, Tracy, and Lee for sharing your stories with us.
Yes.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.